Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hold it. Hold up, everyone. Are you ready for a sing-along?
Oh, it's back. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Omar Kelly, live from Tampa, joins us this morning. Omar, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Hey, Omar, before we get going, I didn't realize that you really thought Larry Coker was a good head football coach at UM. Is that true?
Larry Coker has the best record in the University of Miami history. It will never be repeated. It will never be matched. People say that Larry Coker won with the Butch's players. Yes, Larry Coker won a national championship with Butch's players. But then he also had sustained success with his own players because the Kellen Winslows, the Eric Winstons, the, I don't remember Sean Taylor, Frank Gore, the Roscoe Parishes, the John Beesons, the Greg Olsons. Those were his players. Nobody recruited them but him. So I think he gets a bad rap just because he had the UM program. He had to endure the move to the ACC. He had to, you know, change his recruiting landscape.
Yeah, what? What's the ACC have to do with, like, the fact that they got worse under his watch? He started missing on recruiting. He started screwing up recruiting classes. Do you follow recruiting, Omar? He screwed this whole thing up. I didn't know if he did.
Let me ask you a question. When Larry Coker was bad, he was going to the ACC. He was going to the Peach Bowl, and the year that he didn't go to the Peach Bowl, he also had a player murdered. University of Miami has only been to a bowl equal to or at the level of the Peach Bowl once, and that was under 2 years ago. They have not come close to sustaining or reaching Larry Coker's success. Now, Larry Coker, was he a great head coach? No, he wasn't a great head coach, but he's been a better head coach than the last three that University of Miami.
No. Now you're going to the other end of guys that struggle, but you can't put him with Butch and Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson. At least all he did was put that thing on automatic pilot. Ken Dorsey walked in and said, Larry, we'll keep same offense. We got a few freshmen. Andre Johnson will take over for the two guys that just got drafted in the first round. We're good, and we'll go from there. But you're giving him way too much credit, way too much.
It was nice, you know, guy. A lot of people give. No. Nice guy with the best record in University of Miami history. So don't one. You can't say he did it all without somebody else's players because he was there longer than Butch's players. He had his own players who went on to the NFL and had great success. Yeah, it ran south on him, as it did with everybody else in the program. But people don't factor in, University of Miami, the program changed when they went to the ACC. Everything about the program changed when they went to the ACC.
And didn't run south. Omar, it ran south because a bunch of those coaches took off for the pros. That's how it
Which coaches took off for the pros?
Butch Davis I'm talking about Butch Davis left for the pros, or his ass would have had that same championship or two, except he would have kept the recruiting going at a higher level than Larry. Larry couldn't recruit. I don't know why. He was like five-star disaster, three-star, took the wrong guys. All right.
That's a different era, Joe. A lot of things changed in the recruiting landscape, and you could say he couldn't coach, he couldn't recruit, whatever. But
he didn't mess it up. He stayed out of the way. He did stay out of the way coaching. Let these guys play.
He had sustained success with his own players
for 2 years.
With
2 years, Rose Bowl,
no, he had more than 2 years, Joe.
Oh, I didn't see him back.
Orange Bowl. You're going to disrespect the Orange Bowl?
Just not to say.
This is partially my fault because we were talking about the coaching stuff the other day,
right,
and I said Omar is a Coker guy and that he could not wait to bring you on to talk about this.
I did a show with Larry Coker, and I go, Larry, you got guys that want to go to your school. He goes, nah, I mean, they're good players, but I know they want to go, but we got these other guys on the list ahead of them. Okay. Hey, listen, and they weren't very good. Hey, let's jump into some stuff with up at Tampa Bay. Same problems, a lot of the same stuff from the first preseason game and the offseason. The holes on the offensive line, the pass rush, and finding a second corner, still a big problem. What do we do?
You keep throwing guys in there and seeing if they can swim in the deep end. Eric Rowe is okay. There's nothing really wrong with him. I really think that they should try Minkah Fitzpatrick on the boundary, but Minkah is struggling in his own right. So it's something that this is the people don't understand. There are probably like four starters on defense. Everybody else is role players. And they're just struggling to find guys who can handle more than their role. That explains what's going on in the secondary. They've also got a ton of injuries. I mean, right now you're playing without Rashad, you're playing without TJ, you're playing without Kiko, you're playing without Raekwon, you're playing without Chase Allen. It is what it is. But
right.
A lot of guys that should be stepping up, like the Charles Harrises of the world, they aren't stepping up. And that's impacting you somewhat. On the offensive line, you're really doing a lot of experimentation, trying to get two young rookie guards ready to play. Ndamukong Suh took their lunch money yesterday, as you would expect them to do. It was a really humbling experience for them. Hopefully they learn from it and get better and play better today. Sometimes these things happen when you don't really have a good, talented team. This isn't a talented team. This is a team that's got decent top end talent, and then the second tier talent is just
I agree.
Omar, so with that said about, of course, I'm going back to the offensive line because it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you have no offensive line, it doesn't matter. I expected yesterday to be kind of a work in progress day between those two guards. But from what you've seen so far now against another, a preseason game and a practice, because I know you watched the defense a lot yesterday. But that offensive line, we talk about it all the time here. They're going to probably pick another guy up, if not two. But if they kind of don't, like, where are the positions going to be on this team? Like, Jesse Davis, we know, is going to move around to the position that fits him better. But Mills, like, what's going to end up happening with this five?
Well, they're cross-training Jordan Mills to play left tackle because they need somebody to play left tackle. So I understand that. And I really think he hasn't been given a legitimate shot to play right tackle. And I get why, because they're training Jesse Davis to play right tackle. But I haven't really seen Shaq Colhan outperformed him? No, he hasn't. But it is what it is. This is what they're doing. They're investing in the future. They're seeing, Shaq apparently is pretty good at the run blocking, and that's great. Now the question is, can he speed up his development and progress and technique to play right guard? I watched that unit closely yesterday, and I watched their position coach, and it was brutal. Dave was giving it to him. Literally, he gave Isaiah Ford a timeout. He was basically like, you go stand by the goalpost, you get out. And, he had a rough day. I've never seen anybody have a rough day like him. It was one of those want-to-get-away moments, but then so did a lot of people on this team. I mean, Flores hammered Josh Rosen yesterday. And, bringing up stuff that Josh Rosen has basically plagued Josh Rosen his entire career, the whole entitlement, attitude stuff. I mean, he just laid it out there, explaining why he wasn't the starter and probably isn't going to be the starter. This is a coaching staff that they're coaching very critically right now, and they have expectations, and right now this team isn't meeting their expectations, and they're not shy about sharing that.
Shaq Calhoun or Jesse Davis, what do you think ends up happening at right guard? Jesse Davis got a lot more experience, obviously, over being a starter the last couple of years, and yet I do know they think Jesse Davis can play right tackle. But I think they got to put him at one or the other and stick with it, man.
Yeah.
I
mean,
that's a tough one.
I think they're trying to get him comfortable at right tackle, and it'll work. He'll be better in 8 games at right tackle than he would. You know, this is just an investment to get Jesse to play the ideal position, the position that they need him the best. Now, Jesse's a good player. I like Jesse. I think it's going to be okay. I wish they had a better right tackle so that Jesse could go back to right guard and we could just continue to move this investment forward. But then Chris Reed is also there, and he's being cross-trained as a center right now, but he's basically can be a break in case of emergency right guard. I would love to see him at right guard, but I understand what they're doing, and you know, let's hope it works.
Let's hope this thing speeds up real, real fast, man, because all these problems that we're talking about, and Charles Harris is just every time he gets out there, he sees a tackle, yeah. He thinks he just glues onto him. Man. He can't get off these guys. They're blocking him.
Yeah. They're right now, a lot of the first-round picks are struggling right now. Yeah. And let's not excuse Minkah Fitzpatrick. While I love Minkah, I think he's a very talented player, and I think he's probably their best option on the boundary cornerback, it's not like he's really excelling right now at nickel. So,
yeah.
You know,
wow.
You know, they're throwing these guys into the deep end, and they're seeing if they can sink or swim. If they sink or swim, and right now, a lot of the first round picks, a lot of the early draft picks, I think Mike Gesicki's probably working his way out of that, you know, ooh, that hole. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for a lot of Chris Greer's draft picks.
Oh boy, a lot of time to talk about that. Omar, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Bye, bye, Larry Coker lover. I'll see you later.
Oh, I knew you were gonna get that at the end.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.